السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Radio Islam, last week Tuesday there was a chilling, very quiet, very different atmosphere within the area, within the organization of Jamiatul Ulama. When the messages were going around, there was great emotion that was there, and that because there was the passing away of our Ustad at our Jami'a, at the Jami'a Al-Ulum Al-Islamiyya, the Jami'a of the Jamiatul Ulama offices, that a call was made that our Honorable Ustad, the Sheikh Al-Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Mumtaz Al-Haqsab, had passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled his qabr with nur. Really the difficulty in his absence for the Jamiatul Ulama, the Jami'a, and the Muslim at large is something that is really felt. And to profile Maulana this evening, we have Maulana's elder brother, Maulana Mansur Al-Haqsab, Dam al-Barakatum, Hafidhahullah, a great scholar of our time. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Maulana, on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama, Radio Islam, the Jamia, from the deep recesses of our heart, there's no words to console yourself and the family. Nevertheless, to say that Maulana has served us, and definitely Maulana is in a better place than he was. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen.
Maulana, we're speaking about Maulana's lifetime, and we want to start from the beginning. Maulana, you want to please give the listeners of Radio Islam a brief background on the family history of yourself and Maulana, where you all come from, etc.
Yes. I think it's better if you make it like question and answers, so that my mind should, and according to, I can focus on that thing, you know, and instead of just telling the story, because my mind is not gonna continue with story, you know, the whole thing.
So, Maulana, the first story we're asking, the first question, Maulana, is a little bit about Maulana's family background. From where does Maulana come?
Yes, yes. Actually, we are from Punjab, Rawalpindi. And Rawalpindi is a city that I was born in my father's electrical place and village, Gaum, and my Shaheed brother, he was in my mother's electrical Gaum, he was born there. That is Takhti, that name was Takhti. My place, birthplace was Bau Fakiria, and these are some of the Gaums of that area there, which is Rawalpindi, Punjab.
Ji. And Maulana, how many brothers and sisters are Maulana in there?
JazakAllah, I'm so great, blessed, brother. Alhamdulillah, I still got one brother, Mahmoodul Haq, younger brother, who I brought him up then the time of my life. And then my brother, Ijazul Haq, Damat Barakatuhum, who is also Khalifa of our Hazrat Sheikh Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi. He also, when he was small, I had a chance of playing with him and bringing him up. And he's with my second, my mother's second, you know, marriage. They are there too. And there's one sister who is in Pakistan, you know, Kenayane?
Ji.
Sali Kanuna? Yasmin, Alhamdulillah, she is in Pakistan. She was here in South Africa, but her husband, that is our cousin, he wanted to go to serve the parents, and then he went away. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq to both parents, you know, and in their hands, they passed away, and he had an opportunity of serving them. So this is my sister and my brother, Mahmoodul Haq. He's here in Rustenburg, and older than him is Ijazul Haq. He is by you all in the Jordan. And these are my brothers and sisters, mother's side. So Ijazul Haq and Mahmoodul Haq and Yasmin, these two, my brother and sister, they are from my mother's side, because our father had TB and he was about 40 years old when he passed away. When we were in studentship time, third year Alim course, I was elder and my brother was still minor. He must be about 12 years old or something when my father passed away. That's why later on our mother was remarried in the family. So that's how we are five brothers and sisters.
Mawlana Mumtaz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his initial ta'aleem and his ta'aleem of after that in Darul Uloom, where did he study and who were some of his ustaz, Mawlana?
So the thing is, those days, my father was a policeman and he was a very intelligent person. And all his intelligence has been distributed in his family, and the biggest share, lion's share, my brother, younger brother, had Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq, Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was only third year of schooling. After 3 years he completed schooling, right? My father was very much inspired by Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Aslam Sahab, a Tablighi Jamaat, a great leader. He was his follower, and he said, dedicate your son for the sake of knowledge of deen. So grade three completion, he was taken out and went to learn the Quran Kareem. I was in grade seven completed, and I was in Gaum. 2 years I was in Gaum, and I came to Karachi, you know, and then I told them that I also want to be, I'm a Hafiz of the Quran, so that my brother was learning Hifz, and then that's how the Islamics, after that, after Hifz, we started going into Islamic studies.
MashaAllah. Mawlana,
within 2 years time, we completed this Hifz, and it was still not baligh. And I wanted... أنت تتكلم العربية كذلك؟ أنت تتكلم العربية كذلك؟
Who's Mawlana speaking to?
Okay. طيب that's right. جي. I understood now. Listeners are not Arabic speaking here, right? Okay.
After Mawlana and them done their schooling, etc., where did then Mawlana go and study further in terms of the Alim Fazil course?
Alim Fazil course, all in Newtown, Karachi. From beginning, and we qualified also Newtown, Karachi, and for 3 years, we were away from, our teachers told us that you people got more inclination towards Maqulat, and the less books I thought, yes, you must go to Punjab or other frontier area. There were more Maqulat books and philosophy and mantiq have been taught. So you people must get that done also. So therefore we left. My brother was under my wings all the time. And we went to the other two, Darul Uloom Idgah Kabirwala. And also we 2 years there and 1 year. It was in Rawalpindi, and we studied various books and high class. We studied there, and then for Dora Hadith, we came back to Newtown, Karachi, because I always from the day one I had my cherished wish to learn Bukhari Sharif, from Sayyidina Muhammad Yusuf Al Dinuri Rahmatullah Alayh. So I stayed nowhere. I didn't allow my brother also go anywhere, and we came back where we started from.
Mawlana, what was the atmosphere that, I mean, you saw Mawlana Yusuf bin Nouri, Mufti Wali Hassan, Rahmatullah Alayhi. What must have been at that time the madrasa, the level of the asbaq? When were you standing under these great legends?
Now, that was, it was in 60s, 64, 65, 66, this was the time. My father passed away in 65 when we were third year. That time we were in, he passed away in 66, and that time we were in third year Alim course.
And Mawlana, in terms of the level of dars that you'll experience in Binnori town.
Yes.
Explain to the listeners what it was, that level of dars and wo maqam or wo dars ke jo martaba tha. Taki wo sameen sun le ki ka kya khubiya thi Hazrat Mufti Binnori sahab apne Mawlana Hassan wagaira.
Yeah, asal mein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the great fortune through the barakat of Allama Yusuf bin Nouri rahmatullah alayhi, through his barakat, was this thing that Allama Yusuf bin Nouri rahmatullah alayhi went overseas and he spoke to the president, Jamal Abdul Nasir. He was Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi's personal friend, and told him, look, we India and Pakistan, we do not have that excellence in Arabic language. You people got here, so many experts. Why don't you people send there so that at least our students also get the privilege of learning Arabic, you know, at a higher level? He says, no problem. We're going to send you. So that is how Maulana became instrumental of getting Al-Maghawthin and Al-Azhar-i-Sharif, people coming from there and teaching the students there. Students don't have to go anywhere. They're studying in a good mahal and learning Arabic from the linguistic, you know, those who are specialists in Arabic. And Allah Ta'ala was very kind that we had the foundation laid of Arabic language by them. And this was a great fortune, because once Arabic foundation is laid for you and you become fluent, then you learn hadith, tafsir, and all these things, it become absolutely natural for you. So our learning was, alhamdulillah, very, very rewarding. Every paper from third year onward till about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, how many years, we've been always writing everything in Arabic. And our teachers used to be so fond of it that the paper is in Urdu language and the answer coming from myself or from my brother, both of us, answer coming in Arabic language. So that is how it was so wonderful. Mufti Wali Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he was specializing in Bukhari and Tirmidhi Sharif. And Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Binawri Rahmatullah Alayh selected him. He was like his student also. Although he qualified in Mufti Wali Hasan, qualified in Darul Deoband, but still Hazrat gave him more coaching so that he must become specialist in Tirmidhi Sharif. And no one else taught Tirmidhi Sharif while Hazrat Mufti Sahib was there. And then Hazrat Maulana Fazal Muhammad Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a great, he was linguistic also, great adib in Arabic language, and poet in Arabic language, and he was given the task of teaching us Abu Dawud Sharif. So, and Sayyidina Muhammad Yusuf bin Ali, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to teach us Bukhari Sharif. Those days, all those teachers, Maulana Muhammad Badi Zaman Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, and as Fayz Ali Shah Sahib, Misbahullah Shah Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, all these dynamic people that were in their field. As Maulana Mufti Ahmadur Rahman Sahib, as Maulana Yusuf Bihari Rahmatullah Alayh's son-in-law, he used to teach us for all the, what you call, Nukamz al-Daqaiq and Fiqh. Very much great muhakkik of everything that the great tahqiq used to teach. Maulana Muhammad Hamid Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, elder brother of Hazrat Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, we had the good fortune of learning even an Arabic adab by him. Mutanabbi, Divan al-Mutanabbi, he was teaching us, and he was a great wise man. So Allah gave us tawfiq of studying these illustrious, learners, scholars, profound knowledge of our time, alhamdulillah.
Maulana, whilst you were studying, Hazrat Mufti Radhaul Haq Sahib Damat Barakatum, was he also present at that time while Maulana and them were at Binori Town, or was he before, after Maulana and them?
No, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Radhaul Haq Sahib, he was not there in our Darul Uloom that time when we qualified. And after our qualification, my brother Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq stayed over in Darul Uloom for a couple of years to get specialized in Dawah, in the faculty of Dawah wal-Irshad. That time, Hazrat Maulana Raza al-Haq Sahab, Zahmat Barakat Mufti Raza Sahab, I think he came over there and he stayed with Hazrat, and he studied also there. And Maulana, he was colleague and roommate of Hazrat Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, Jibacha, what is it? Yeah, and Rahmatullah Alayh, and he was, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, maybe he was specializing in fatwa and fatwa maybe, and Mumtaz al-Haq was in what you call on subject to correction as far as Mufti Sahib Raza al-Haq Sahib. He wasn't there another time. He came afterwards. But Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq, he was associate because we were together in specializing.
Morana, after Morana Mumtaz al-Haq and yourself qualified from Jamia bin Nuriya, what khidmat of service did then Morana Mumtaz al-Haq and yourself go into after Faragat?
Now, after Faragat, first and foremost, I must tell, because I think Mufti Razaul Haq Sahib, whenever he met us, he was always mentioning of that, and Amma bin Ni'mat Rabbika Fahadith, whatever Allah Ta'ala gave you ni'mat, must talk about it. I had my cherished wish in my life that when I get the Wifaqul Madaris, which is all the madrasas of Pakistan together, I had my cherished wish. I did not tell anybody that I must get the first position in that.
Subhanallah.
And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was so kind and merciful to me that Allah Ta'ala gave me what I wanted. And so all the madaris together, and from the Chikol Akola Khatak till Karachi, all the madaris, Faruqiya and all the big, they all participated in the final exam, and it was the Faqul Madaris established. And in that all, Allah Ta'ala gave me first position, and my brother, he got the second position, while despite being much younger than me. So this is a great ni'mat. I can never bypass that without telling you. But Alhamdulillah, and that was due to one great important factor, because there was the final exam, the graduation exam, every paper there, it was written on the top of it, in Tabta Al-Ajwiba Al-Ash'ila Bil-Lughat Al-Arabiya Fota Ashat Arqam Li-Insha' Al-Lughat Al-Arabi. It means if you're going to write answer of all these questions in the correct Arabic language, you will be granted 10 marks specially for the establishment of Arabic language. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Fazal, from the third year onward, right till 8 and 9 years, we always made practice of Arabic language. And Arabic became more natural than Urdu for us. So that became advantage to get high marks, Alhamdulillah, ala zalik. That is nothing from me, but all by Allah talks rahmat upon us.
Well, how many students wrote the Wifaq of Madaris at that time when Morana and them were writing the
Wifaq of Madaris? Hundreds of the students were there. I think it was, it came in a magazine, all, you know, that I was in Punjab, and I got the news that from Darul Uloom, Newtown, Karachi, my name came out first.
Subhanallah.
And Morana Mumtaz second. So I wasn't moved by that, because I had a high expectation. I wasn't moved. Then came the news that whole Tarjuman-e-Islam paper, what was magazine, periodical, and in that one, they gave all the tafsir of the participants. It's only alone from Akola Khatak, 150 participants were there.
Akola
Khatak, because there are room, or Pathan people and all there, some of them are so experienced, they knew the books of their heart. They were the participants, and our number was only about 20. It was a very long number, because our Hazrat Rahmatullah was very particular. He used to select people who come to, he must be Hafiz of the Quran, he must be this thing. And so, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, I wasn't worthy of that. I'm quite 100% sure. So many other people were worthy. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave me this position, unworthy person like me.
Subhanallah. Mawlana, after Faragat, from that particular, and obviously gaining the first and second prize, yourself and your brother, Mawlana, where did Mawlana Nim make khidmat after Mawlana Nim got farig from the Darul Uloom?
I tell you, the khidmat which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wanted to take from us, some khidmat, I would say, that khidmat of ours started, my khidmat, real khidmat started when I came to this country here, South Africa, real in the true sense of the word. Why was it? Hazrat Mawlana Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh used to say, when he used to introduce me, he used to say that nobody can introduce my brother, elder brother, better than me. And his introduction is to say, when you count that experience of teaching, when you started teaching, normally when person gets qualification after graduation, then he goes in teaching field, and then you start counting. You say, with my brother, Murad Mansoor, my name is saying, his teaching starts when he was already student, that is teaching Sanskrit. Because you say, whatever he is to learn, he is to teach us all. So we, whatever we studied, it was because of his... So actually, in the real, my teaching started in Pakistan, but it was motivated by this fact that I will not be accepted here if there is no experience of teaching. So I was teaching here and there, and alhamdulillah, I was given chance of teaching books, and not only Quran, books, various varieties of the books in Chakwal. There was a town by the name of Chakwal. I was teaching there. Then I became married, got married also. Because of the burqat of coming to South Africa, my problem with marriage was also resolved. So alhamdulillah, that I'm very, very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that materialistically, when you are better off, then you get this problem resolved also. Then after that, the second thing was that I came to Rawalpindi, and that was Darul Uloom Day, and I started teaching there, and I needed this experience for Maulana Sema Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was our spiritual mentor. He wanted that the papers of experience, because without that, I will not be accepted here. So I was busy, and then came the chance of, you know, what you call my coming, and when I came here 1976, from that time, real my, you know, teaching services started here. And my brother, Maulana Muntazir, was also there. He was serving the Hafiz, his class. Wherever he went and taught, the people remembering that he's so wonderful teacher. So after that, 1979, he arrived here, and then his teaching also from his class started. Thereafter, came into Alim classes as we got the more grip over the Arabic English language.
Alhamdulillah, respected listeners, we are speaking to Maulana Mansurul Haq, Taman Barakatuhumul Aliyah. And this evening, we are profiling Maulana Mumtaz Sahib, Maulana Mumtaz Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who had passed away last week, Tuesday, not the Tuesday that passed, the Tuesday before this, in very tragic circumstances. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the family.
Inshallah,
we're going to be taking the messages and callers in, so keep those messages and calls ready, inshallah. But currently we are speaking to Morana's elder brother, Morana Mansur Sahib from Rustenburg. Morana, what are some of the sifat and the qualities of Morana Mumtaz Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, that we can learn from Morana?
Morana Mumtaz, Rahmahullah, you see, we cannot do justice to speak in this one majlis about Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an icon. And in so many aspects, Allah ta'ala gave him the quality of leadership, quality of a highly, high profile person, with highly qualified, he had a leadership quality wherever he went. The community benefited, not only students of Deen, but the community benefited him. And here in Rustenburg, when he came, he opened up this, you know, with his barakat, the Muslim school came about, and the whole ummah benefited here. And you came to overseas, the United States, the alhamdulillah, great benefit people have taken from his presence. So Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, I give you one my feeling about that. He was in difficulty when he came back from America. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such that he developed his relationship with Allah ta'ala great. Because remember, myself, I became murid of Hazrat Shah Hakim al-Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and my brother was so much loving me, he also, because of me, I did not even know, and he also developed the relationship of murid, become murid of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he got great spirituality with him, that he had already made an intention, and he wrote it in the Arabic language, that min tamanniyati an ustashhada fi sabilillah, that it is from my cherished wish that I must be shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brother rahimahullah was in every walk of life, in every field. I tell you, this must be enough to tell you that my brother left us, and I felt that my whole family, my family, my brother's family, we all became, his younger brother, but we all became yatim without him.
Definitely, Morana, not only the family, the Jamia, the Jamiat, we all have become the people of Roshni as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ni'mah al-badal, inshallah.
Amen.
And I think,
Amen.
Morana, we need to take more benefit from yourself, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Morana, have you composed any poetry about your brother, Morana Mumtasa?
Look, when I was seated there in Roshni, where my brother was there, used to sit, I sat down there, and I found a frame on the top.
Gee.
There was a few lines there. That was a dua and a prayer of Sultan Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi, who is also in the lineage of our spirituality, our Buzurganism. So he wrote a few lines, communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many times I read that and I said, this is actually portraying and reflection of my brother's feeling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular juncture. So share with the listeners here on the Radio Islam.
Please, Morana, we would love to listen from you.
هجرت خلق طرا في هواك وأيتمت العيال لكي أراك ولو قطعتني في الحب إربا لما حن الفؤاد إلى سواك تجاوز عن ضعيف قد أتاك وجاء راجيا يرجو نداك وإن يك يا مهيمن قد عصاك فلم يسجد لمعبود سواك إلهي عبدك العاصي أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأنت لذاك أهل وإن تطرد فمن يرحم سواك.
الله أكبر.
So this was the crying and communicating of great Allah Ta'ala, who have left everything, sacrificed kingdom, sacrificed his family, his beloved children and wife, and for Allah Ta'ala's sake. So he said, Oh my Allah, the whole world I have abandoned and made hijrat, whole thing, just for sake of your love, O Allah. And I have made my whole family yatim. You can imagine, yatim can be only when a person passes away. Yet he did not pass away, but he made intention not to see the family again. So I made my whole family yatim only for one wish, that I have your manifestation, Ya Allah. If, O Allah, you have to kill me and you have to cut me into small pieces in thy love, my heart shall not yearn to anybody else beside you, Ya Allah. And, O my Allah, you must overlook from this dhaif and feeble person who has come to your door, and he has arrived here, he's got a hope that you're gonna have benevolence and mercy upon him. Oh Ya Allah, even if I am a gunagar, but oh my Lord, one thing I've got here, that I did not bow down to anyone besides you, oh Allah. Oh my Lord, Abdul Asi, I am your sinner, slave, I'm coming to you, Ya Allah, and I'm admitting my mistakes and my sin, and I'm praying to you, Ya Allah, you forgive me. If you're going to forgive me, Ya Allah, then you are definitely very entitled for forgiveness, Ya Allah, and if you're going to change me, Ya Allah, from your door, then I've got no other door to knock at, Ya Allah, only your door is. And all these poetry, 100% is coming true, on my brother's condition, that he has made us, all our family, everybody, yatim, and he left whole world alone and he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one difference is, he went as a shaheed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua, Allah ta'ala accept this shahadat.
Ameen, Morana, jazakallah so much for your most valuable time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, Murana Mustafa, Murana Amir, the daughters and the whole family.
Amen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Jazakallah for your time, Murana.
Brother Shah, Jazakumullah, for you taking time for us to sharing with us our very difficult time. Jazakumullah for all your team and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Maulana Mansoor al-Haqsaab, one of the senior ulama. Do now, respected listeners, we all have heard with regards to the great personality of Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq, rahmatullahi alayh. I'm going to ask our engineer this evening, Brother Mikhail, to play us a clip of Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq so that we understand the personality of Maulana and his ability to communicate. And Maulana was so good in many ways. Let's listen to Maulana's voice and then when we return, we shall carry on, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Ulama Profile. Myself, Ubaidullah Bawja, and we're profiling Hazrat Maulana Mumtaz al-Haqsaab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Let us try and send the messages in, keeping it brief, inshallah. The number is 071-878-9748. 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we'll try and read those messages out. A little bit later, we'll open the lines after we've spoken to Maulana San, etc. But that, inshallah, when we have the time. Maulana Ahmad Akut sent me two messages, and I want to read both to you. The first one is, learn to appreciate what you have before time makes you appreciate what you had. While every week we mourn the loss of the scholars that are coming, that we speak about and that we profile, wallahi, there are many scholars that are alive within our area, ulama, imams. Let us appreciate them, you know. And if you can appreciate and learn from them while they're alive, I think it will gel more well than appreciating them when they have left this world. Maulana states, I had the privilege of studying my entire alim course under Maulana Mansoor al-Haq. And I had the privilege of meeting Maulana Mumtaz on a few occasions. The manner in these two giants that they interacted with each other was absolutely amazing. And the humility was something to see. Maulana Mumtaz told us that this is his elder brother, which was more like his ustad, because Maulana Mansoor would assist him in everything. We have on the line now Maulana Mustafa Kamil. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Ameen. Maulana, firstly, before we even begin, our condolences to you, the family, your respected mother, and all the people of the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each one of you.
Ameen, ameen.
Second to that, Maulana, we all make special dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your family, that is Maulana's wife, complete shifa, speedy recovery, and make it easy for all of them in the accident that happened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the fullest reward in this world, in the qabr, and in the akhirah as well.
Ameen, ameen, summa ameen.
Maulana, we're speaking with regards to your father. Your honorable uncle, Maulana Mansoor al-Haqsaab, gave us information regarding your father, his studies, etc. We came to the point whereby your father came to Newcastle and somewhat the conversation stopped there. Maulana, you want to give us some information regarding your father and some of the services he done in South Africa, etc., Maulana?
Ji, Hazrat Maulana, Jazakallah for the opportunity. Obviously, this is such a topic which we can talk for hours and hours, and obviously we cannot do justice.
Ji, Maulana.
As you mentioned earlier on, I was listening that you need to make qadr of our ulama, our elders in South Africa. And a couplet that came in front of me, I would just like to read that. چلو کچھ دنوں کے لیے دنیا چھوڑ دیتے ہیں فراز سنا ہے لوگ بہت یاد کرتے ہیں چلے جانے کے بعد
اللہ اکبر
He mentions that, you know, let us leave this world for a while because people tend to remember us a lot after we have left this abode of the dunya. So that is the case here actually. But indeed we should, inshallah, mention some mahasin of our Hazrat and my beloved father, Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq, rahimahullah ta'ala. You know, his demise, it was sudden, and it brought about shockwaves, you know, which impacted the hearts of all his lovers, locally, nationally, internationally. It saddens us, Maulana, but at the same time, you know, we gained some peace and some solace and some comfort due to the fact that my beloved father, rahimahullah ta'ala, is passed away in the path of Allah, being martyred as a shaheed. That is what we believe, while serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as someone put it very beautifully, Aasha sa'idan wa mata shaheedan.
Subhanallah.
If I look at the entire life of my father from Newcastle, even in Pakistan, I have some memory of that also. And Rustenburg, and then United States, and back here in Roshni, I can say Aasha sa'idan wa mata shaheedan. That he lived a life of sa'ada, honor and dignity, and he passed away as a shaheed. Hazrat Maulana rahimahullah ta'ala truly desired martyrdom, and it was in one of his notes where he had written that I wish and I desire that I be made a martyr in the path of Allah.
Subhanallah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also answered that dua of his, and he was true in his desire. As a father, I remember, you know, he was very, very stern with us, very, very strict with us, and even with the students. In all aspects, he was very, very stern, very strict, and he had a lot of rawb on his appearance. He had an awe on his appearance. We could not raise our voice. No one could raise their voice in front of him, and there was some. His presence was known wherever he went. At the same time, I must say that he was very, very caring and very loving, and he was soft inside his heart. I know for the fact, and ulama of South Africa and abroad also will bear testimony to this, that he was a man of profound ilm. He had deep knowledge of Quran, deep knowledge of ahadith, and the Arabic language as well. And he could also, one khubi and one a good trait of Hazrat Wali Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala was that he could easily apply the ahadith and the Quran and Islamic teachings to the current times and the situations. And when I used to look at him and I think of him, then this other line came into my mind, which I just read, the description of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And maybe it's appropriate if I mention it here, it probably fits him also. He said, it was said about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, يَتَفَجَّرُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ جَوَانِبِهِ وَتَنْدِقُ الْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ نَوَاحِيهِ.
Subhanallah.
And it really befits Walid Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala that he was a man of profound knowledge. When he used to speak, as if ilm and knowledge is gushing out of him from all sides. وَتَنْدِقُ الْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ نَوَاحِيهِ. And hikmat, you know, used to speak from all sides and all directions of Walid Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. And his name was Mumtazul Haqq, the differentiator of Haqq. And Haqq was on his tongue all the time. I can remember him always speaking Haqq, and he was never afraid to speak Haqq. At the same time, anyone could approach Walid Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. He never, you know, looked at a person's background or his wealth, or a person's color, or his status. He welcomed everyone, you know. Wus'at-e zarfi was found in him. And he could tackle, and he would sit with a person who had the smallest of problems, and he would advise him with love and hikmat. And he could sit with the biggest of cases, and the biggest of problems would come in front of him, and he would present solutions through his knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gifted him. Anyone could befriend him. He was very jovial. I remember him, you know, as a jovial person at the same time. He would laugh and joke at with people, and people would love his company. Kana mahiran bil Quran. He was a master in the Quran Kareem. I must say that Walid Sahib was very passionate about Quran. He used to recite Quran in a very, very melodious way. And he used to love reciting Quran Kareem. Everyone loved to listen to his Taraweeh. That I know, when I used to meet people from Roshni or from anywhere, they would say, you know what, we know your father for his Taraweeh.
Chee, chee.
Now, they loved to listen to his Quran Kareem. He loved to recite it also. And another thing about him is that Walid Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala used to recite Quran Kareem whilst driving. That was his adat. You know, he told one of his friends that when I'm driving to the Jamia, to Johannesburg, and when I'm driving back to Roshni, then at that time you mustn't call me. So he asked why. So he mentioned at that time he's reading Quran Kareem. So he used to read at least 2 paras to 3 paras daily going to the Jamia and coming back. And I can for sure say this, that he was reciting Quran Kareem when his Shahada took place.
Subhanallah.
But people, were shocked. And, he had exceptional and amazing memory. The most difficult of Arabic Ashar, or Urdu Ashar, or Farsi Ashar, he used to memorize them, he used to read them with great ease. He used to solve the most difficult of Ibarat text. He used to love to teach a book like Maqamati Hariri, Al-Balagatul Wadiha. And he didn't mind teaching small Ibtidai Kitabs. And he could also teach finally a book, and he was teaching Bukhari Sharif and Tirmidhi Sharif lately. At the same time, he was well aware of what is going around the world. As a small child, I remember when I was in Newcastle, at that time he had a radio which he used to tune into Arabic news, international radio stations. He must listen to that in the morning before he went to teach. Also he used to listen to Urdu news as well as South African news. And he was, used to follow what's happening around the world. He was well acquainted with what is going on around the world. Arabian politics, be it Pakistani politics, be it South African politics. He was, in other words, current affairs. And I'm sitting now in his Kutubkhana whilst I'm talking to you, Maulana.
Ji, we sat in there last week when we came, Maulana.
Ji, I'm sitting in his study room. He made the study room for himself. And this is where he spent his day, and this is where he spent his night. Lately, he used to even sleep here. And he used to love his books. He used to make mutala most of the time. All we can say now, Hazrat, is that Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu, wa la taftinna ba'dahu, waqfir lana wa lahu, wajma'na ma'ahu fi jannatin na'im.
Ameen.
Jazakumullah khairan. I will hand you over now to my brother, Mufti Amir.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muhtisab, hope you're keeping well.
Alhamdulillah. Hope you're well, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
Ameen wa alaikum wa alayhi salam. Maulana, from your side, what would you like to share with the listeners this evening regarding Hazrat Walid Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi?
Maulana, as far as I think so far, my beloved uncle Hazrat Maulana Masul Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuhu profoundly mentioned many things, and he also mentioned that it will not do justice as to which angle we can speak on, but I will just touch on 2 or 3 things, maybe more on Hazrat Maulana Walid Sahib Shaheed Rahimahullah, as far as his interaction with us as a family. And, the children and grandchildren. So if you look at Hazrat Maulana Walid Sahib Shaheed Rahimahullah as a father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, an imam, or a ustad, in every angle he was perfection personified. And very, very supportive to his children and grandchildren. And my brother, Maulana Mustafa Sahib, mentioned the sternness with regards to the education was something which he did not compromise for his children and grandchildren, but it was done with tremendous amount of hikmah, wisdom, and hilm. And so, whichever direction or whichever field the children or grandchildren, were trying to get into, he was very, very supportive. And, just to give an example with regards to my sisters and us, smallest things in the house, he used to be a source of help and comfort. When my sisters come in front of him, or when we come, he'd always stand up and say salam and hug us and kiss us.
Allah.
And that was his daily thing. If my sister came in to bring a small plate, something to share, he would run towards her, and go and hug her and take it from her hand and say, and he would say, my children or my daughters, they are the coolness of my eyes. So he used to praise us, he used to say these things, to make us feel always loved So, you know, holding us, hugging us all the time, kissing the children, the grandchildren, helping around the house. One specific, you know, instance of him becoming a source of khair and nush, you know, like the anbiya wa nasihun. He had this concept of nush and ad-dinu an-nasiha. One of the students whom, you know, and I am based in the United States, so one of his students in the United States who became later on a great alim, when he was in his infant stages of studying under Hazrat Mawlana rahimahullah, he had embarked on his journey to go abroad to study, and he was having financial distress, the student, and he was not having much support from his family, especially his parents. And so on his last occasion at that time when he came to visit and take ijazah from Hazrat Ali Sahib Shaheed rahimahullah before he was embarking on his journey, he came and asked for ijazah and said salam, and Hazrat Ali Sahib rahimahullah given him du'as. And after that, the student left the masjid and he was going away in his car. And he says that, you know, I was about to start the car and I seen Hazrat Wali Sarahmullah run towards him from the inside of the masjid barefoot. And he came running and he said, listen, come back, come back, come back. And he said, I ran towards Hazrat. And Hazrat said, you know what, he hugged me again and he made a lot of dua. And he just held my hand and he put this large envelope in my hand, or a stash of cash in my hand. And he said, listen, I know you're going through some difficulties. Just as a father, just take this from me, you know, and this will help you in your journey. So these are, you know, things which we never found out until people later on told us about their experiences with him, Hazrat Wali Sahib Shaheed Rahimullah. So, you know, one other incident I'd just like to quickly mention, in the United States. There was a brother who was a reaver to Islam, and he was having difficulty with regards to intoxication, and he used to have an alcohol problem. So during his conversion to Islam, Hazrat used to, you know, advise him and try to, you know, keep him connected to the masjid, etc. But that problem was something really deep for him. So on one particular occasion, this brother came to the masjid and collapsed at the entrance in the state of intoxication. So some of the brothers at the masjid saw this and they became apprehensive and they wanted to take this person out. But Hazrat Wali Sahib Rahimullah quickly apprehended them and said, no, 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 bring him inside right now. Bring him inside, hold him and carry him and bring him to the side of the masjid and bring him to the bathroom. So they held his brother, they picked him up and they brought him to the bathroom. And over there in the bathroom, Hazrat said, make him sit. And Hazrat washed him from head to toe and given him a ghusl himself with his own hands.
Allahu Akbar.
After giving him a ghusl, washed him, and then they brought towels, put on clothes for him. This person was still in the state of intoxication. Then Hazrat said, let's go and take him out somewhere. So this person said, I'm hungry. So Hazrat said, we'll go and buy him whatever he wants. And he took him somewhere and he bought for him things from his own pocket. And then after that, he told the brothers, you people go back to your work. Let me go because you guys have nice cars and my car is a little bit older. If you take this person in your car, there will be a smell of alcohol. Rather, he sits in my car and I'll take care of it. So then this is one example of Hazrat. And that person later on became, mashallah, a very, very, very good Muslim. Very, very good Muslim. And he's becoming a source of khair for others. So these are some, you know, some small snippets from Hazrat's life, which I was touching upon. Same with Hazrat's grandchildren. They're very, very attached with him. All of the grandchildren, my own son, has the name of my beloved father. And he was very attached all the way from the United States, daily spending time on the phone with him. And Hazrat always made time. If there was time for mutala before the dars, he would always say, give me 5-10 minutes, and then I will talk to my grandchild. He always made time for his children and grandchildren. Everybody relied on him. We could always, you know, ask him any topic. He would listen, objectively give advice, and similarly in the community, any age group could open up to him, and he would be able to converse with them, like the hadith, "Nakallimu an-nasa ala qadri manazilihim." He used to make them feel comfortable, and as a friend, used to give them advice.
Mawlana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Mawlana Mustafa was going through some great challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly for it. And coupled with that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hazrat Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbul Alameen. I would like to add one point of the Quran, which my brother Mawlana Mustafa Sahib mentioned. Our mother mentioned to us that they drove to Durban recently. And, you know, he's mentioning the back and forth drive from Johannesburg to Roshni, in which he used to easily recite, according to my calculation, was 6 to 7 ajza, you know, juz and paras a day. And so our mother reminded me that when they drove to Durban the last time, you know, usually when you're traveling, you want to put some nasheed or you put some naat to listen to.
Ji, ji.
Especially if the son is like Mona Mustafa, you know, you want to listen to him on the way. So she was waiting for the chance to put on some nasheed, but Walid Sahab was constantly, from the minute they left Roshni, he started his recitation. And the whole way he was just in that, you know, recitation zone. By the time they reached Durban, he had finished 26 juz.
Allahu Akbar.
This is her testification on that. And he said, you know, we'll make the khatam over there in the evening sometime. So this Hazrat was his connection with the Quran. And one thing with regards to the Taraweeh, which people were ashiq of, including, you know, all of us as students, we used to listen to his Taraweeh in the United States, you know, broadcast over there. After coming home from Taraweeh, and you know, you get tired from reciting and also giving the, you know, the tafsir dars, he used to come home, have a light snack, and he used to recite the full juz again for my beloved mother. And he used to say that she should not be made mahroom of the khatam of Quran through the Taraweeh.
Allahu Akbar.
And this was his, you know, in Ramadan. Similarly, one of our dear family members mentioned that he was having iftar in the masjid, and he always asked Hazrat Walid Sahib if he could come and join him for iftar in the masjid. And Hazrat used to say, you know what, my wife is alone at home, I'd rather stay with her than inshallah, you know, some other time I will join. So he was cognizant of the small, small emotional attachments with everybody, whether it's the children or the wife, mashallah.
Definitely, Murana, I'm telling you with tears in my eyes, it is a jamiat in the jamia. We have lost a truly gem, and every week we have the same lament. Let us value those that are alive, and let us make sure that those that are alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us the ability to benefit from the uloom, the experience, and all of those things, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen.
Allah bless you, and Allah bless your brother and the whole family as well, inshallah, Murana.
Ameen. Jazakumullah, Mawlana.
Jazakumullah
to all the listeners. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, I have quite a few messages to go through and quite a few guests to go through. So inshallah, let us try and go quickly through them. We have on the line with us Mawlana Mu'az. Mawlana is a teacher at the Jamia al-Ulum al-Islamiyya. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Morana, you only have lost a great senior alim, the Sheikh al-Hadith at the madrasa. What is it that you could share with the listeners of Radio Islam regarding your interaction with Hazrat Morana Mumtaz Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh?
First of all, I would like to say that we are like a yatama, we are like the orphans. We lost our father, our friend, our senior ustad with us at the jami'a. I also would like to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirna fi musibatina wa zalimu us in our calamity wa akhlif lana khayran minha and replace us something better than that musibat of calamity. If I speak about Mawlana Mumtaz, I'm sure a lot of brothers, friends, scholars spoke a lot about Mawlana Mumtaz. All this is a sign that is accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah idha ahabba 'abdan nada Jibril. When Allah loves someone, Allah ta'ala will call Jibril. The continuation of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, to the point is in Allah Ta'ala, then ثُمَّ يُوضَعَ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, then you will be accepted on this earth. As we know, everybody is taking the name of Mawlana Mumtaz on his tongue. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant him high stages in Jannah.
Ameen. Mawlana, your input to the program, please.
My input into the program, Mawlana Mumtaz, subhanAllah, taught us many things. One of the main points I would like to share with everybody is his mashwara. Even though Mawlana was one of the seniors of the scholars in this country, and we look at ourselves, we are still in the road of the ilm. Mawlana Mumtaz used to make mashwara with me about a lot of topics, and even personal topics. So that I learned that always make mashwara in your life, even though you have a deep knowledge. As we know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, he used to make mashwara of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum.
Gee, definitely. Mawlana, what was Mawlana like as a person that used to teach together with you? Was he somebody that was very easy to approach?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana Mumtaz was a very approachable person. Any moment, any time you could speak to him, he could explain to you anything. Alhamdulillah, he was a very humble person. Everybody has a chance to speak to Mawlana and to interact with Mawlana.
Mawlana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Much appreciated.
I would like just to add one thing before you go on to the next guest, the next speaker. Mawlana Mumtaz, before his demise, about 1 week, he saw a dream about our late Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib. in his dream he saw that he met with Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he was discussing few things with him. In that dream, in my heart it came, Wallah, this is looked like a sign that Mawlana Mumtaz is leaving us. And after 2 days, the next day, I told Mawlana Mumtaz, because he's teaching online the poetry and the arud. So I told Mawlana Mumtaz, please, whatever you need to teach online, please give it to me, so I can prepare it for the students so we can get benefit in case something happened to you in the future. At least we have a reference. So and all that was like a kind of sign that Mawlana Mumtaz, Subhanallah, we need to try to take as much benefit from him. Jazakallah khair for the call.
Jazakallah khair. We have on our next guest with us this evening, Mawlana Zaki. Mawlana is the imam in Rijwa, and Mawlana is also an ustad at the Jamia. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, with regards to your interaction with Mawlana Mumtaz al-Haq and your experiences, what would you like to share with the listeners this evening?
I think I would like to highlight a few qualities. One would be Hazrat Mawlana's humility. Us being younger asatida at the Jamia, we always found Mawlana as a fatherly figure. Yet, despite his age, despite him being almost double some of our ages, we found that he would easily sit with us, he would engage with us, he would even entertain our criticism and our negative comments. So we would be able to debate with him, put forward an opinion, and we would be able to discuss and debate those opinions with him. Another aspect that was outstanding for me was his dedication. And despite, you know, his high level of knowledge and the depth of his knowledge, he was very dedicated to the imparting of divine knowledge. An example of this would be he was very excited to impart his knowledge via our online platform. And what happens with the online platform, the type of environment that a person would teach in, is that because of the recordings being available, people can listen to the recordings after the lesson. So ulama, being very busy in their schedules, many of them had registered for his course with regards to the ozan, with regards to the scales of poetry. And there was one day where there was a particular participant that was answering. Mawlana liked his lecture to be interactive, and that person's connection dropped and there was no answers, and I had to come in as the host and give an answer. And after that, in fact during that period, I messaged Mawlana via WhatsApp to tell Mawlana to pacify Mawlana and also to explain to him how much we're benefiting from his lessons. He mentioned in that WhatsApp message, and I've shown it to a few people, he said that even if one person gets benefit from these lessons, I will continue. So the point is, if we understand the amount of effort and that goes into that lesson, he had to prepare half an hour, you know, come from the masjid very quickly after the Isha Salah, prepare for the lesson, get his devices ready for the lesson, position his board correctly, and the camera to the board so that it doesn't get his face, etc. All of that had to go in before the lesson. Then choosing and selecting the poetry that he's going to discuss during that lesson, and after the lesson taking questions, etc. So that's about a 1.5 hour procedure. But all of that, he's saying, just for one person. And he explained the rationale to me. He said, if one person benefits from this, then that person will be able to teach others and he will get his reward. I think to end off, a third point that I would like to mention is the impact that he had on, we can't even call ourselves colleagues, I mean we are his students, I am his student, one of his students, the impact he had on us and as well as the other students of the Jamia was tremendous and amazing. If you analyze some of the poetry that was written in his praise, it was two of our students, one being actually in his fourth year. So in the fourth year of his Alim course, he was able to compose poetry on the scale and with such eloquence, and this was all due to Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi's efforts and his encouragement. that we were able to plunge into difficult texts because of his encouragement. Poetry is not an easy subject, as Maulana Mustafa has mentioned as well. It's not an easy subject, and some of the texts in Arabic literature, the higher level texts, especially the classical works, they're not so easy to read and understand. But he made it easy for us. He made it sound so easy that we actually picked up those books, we started memorizing them, and we started trying to unravel them just like how he taught us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all those that have made his khidmah as well.
Ameen, inshallah. Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Jazakallah.
We have a student online with us who's going to share with us some poetry written. It was discussed by Maulana Zaki Hafiz Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We can call you Maulana Sat now in the final year also, mashallah.
Ji, alhamdulillah.
Maulana, you want to share some poetry with us this evening?
That's right. Inshallah, we'll be sharing two poems.
Okay.
The first one is a poem that was written by one of Maulana's very near and dear students, also a really great alim, mashallah, and that is Maulana Safwan Nawlaki, hafidhahullah. And the poetry goes as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أيا توقي ويا شوقي إلى حبي ومعشوقي إلى وجه كمسك مصباح وقلب لين راقي ترحل لا بتوديع فأصبحنا بلا واقي وكل الناس يوما ما بقعر الأرض يستلقي سقانا من شراب الحب كم للحب من ساقي عرفناه كخير الناس في الخيرات سباقي فحقا كان ممتاز قد امتاز عن الخلق فحقا كان ممتاز قد امتاز عن الخلق بعلم وبإخلاص بنصح وبتنميق بإتقان وإكرام بلطف وبأخلاق هو للخير مفتاح وللشر كمغلاق أصبنا بشجا صعب فهل للداء من راقي إله الكون غمده بعفو وارضا باقي وصبرنا وأهل الشيخ يا ربي وخلاقي وألحقنا به والمصطفى عدنان رقراقي
سبحان الله.
The second poem, inshallah, I'll be reciting is a poem composed by an ustad of the Jami'ah, Murana Abu Huraira Bobat, hafidhahullah, who had taken also a lot from Muhammad Mumtaz Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, while he was alive, in terms of poetry and other knowledges as well. This is the poem that Maulana had composed in praise of Maulana Mumtaz Sahib, and also, of course, after losing this great legend of Islam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
ترحال ممتاز أبونا وشيخنا وصار بأمر الله في اللحد ساويا أصحبي هل تدرون من قاد فقادتموا فقدتم إماما في الحياة وهاديا مفسر قرآن محدث سنة معلم أعلام وشيخا مربيا تغمده ربي بالحنان وبالسنا وبالفوز والغفران شرفه راضيا وأسعد باهر بموت على التقى كذلك كل المؤمنين إلهيا
جزاكم الله خيرا.
Jazakallah khairah. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in the class as well, inshallah.
Ameen ya Rabbi. Ameen ya Rabbi.
We have a line with us from Ahmed Bolania, who is also one of the first farigheen and graduates of the Jamia. He is now teaching there since he's graduated. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, I remember very vividly your introduction at one of the Bukhari Sharif, where you said there will be two pilots for the program, and you were piloting the first part of the program and the graduation, being the MC, and the second part of that. Graduation, the MC and the pilot was Marana Mumtaz al-Haq. Unfortunately, this year the Jamia will be without one of those great pilots, not only for the Jalsa itself, but obviously for the running of the organization.
Gee, Marana, it's obviously, as we know, it's extremely sad, but that is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I would like just to touch on is obviously Marana's connection with us at the Jamia, and how Marana rahmatullahi alayhi, in a very amazing way, like as we've learned before from the other speakers, that Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, he said that I'm going to send my stars. And it just happened that Maulana was that star that was the sun in our madrasa. And he shone over the madrasa and he guided us in different ways. And like all the other usatiza, Maulana obviously has great connection with the pious predecessors. He was obviously a khalifa of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. And there's great feats and things that Maulana established and obviously continued in our madrasa. With that, Maulana was such that he used to actively take part. Every Thursday we have like a zikr program. Maulana used to pilot that. To keep with the pun or to keep with the metaphor, with that, we go in Jamaat often. Recently we went to Brits, I think about a month or two. Maulana joined us. And I would like to share just a small other incident there. It was such that Maulana met some of his old satis from his madrasa. And it so happened that he was chatting with them, and it was still late, probably till 12:30, 1 o'clock. And that night, obviously, everybody went to sleep, and I needed to go to the bathroom. When I woke up, it was probably about 3 or 4 o'clock, maybe about 3:30, if I remember correctly, and I saw Maulana making tahajjud salah in the masjid.
Allah.
Then I thought to myself that this is not just a once in occasion. This must have been a habit, that despite Maulana sleeping for maybe 1 to 2 hours, he's already making tahajjud salah. And like this, I would think that we mention all of these incidents, obviously so that we all can see that in our era, in our time, there are such people. So we can obviously present no excuse to say that it's impossible for myself to adopt such a life or to adopt such qualities in my life. Just a few more incidents, maybe I can just mention of Maulana if time permits.
Sure, Maulana.
Once, I think it happened about 5 years ago, Maulana came a bit late to madrasa, probably for a very valid reason. I can't recall the reason for it, probably traffic or so forth. And I recall one of the asatiza telling me that Maulana, after teaching, he went to those people that were in charge of the salaries, and he said that because I have came late to madrasa, proportionately, please reduce my salary.
Allah.
So this shows the amana that Maulana held and the trustworthiness. And this is something that we should adopt, whether we employers, employees, asatiza, students, or whatever, that great sense of amana and trust, that the time belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also something very, very amazing, which I find found. And as we know, Maulana was a contemporary of Mufti Raza ul-Haq and great, great ulama, as we know, and his age was such, but still he used to come down to our level. He used to make us feel comfortable around him. He never put a barrier to such an extent that he, when he would sit with us, he would praise the other ulama such like he was a junior. And we all see the hadith of Rasulullah manifesting in Maulana, من تواضع لله رفعه الله. Whoever brings himself down for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will raise him. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise him, only Allah ta'ala knows. I remember the last meal we had with Maulana, just to mention how Maulana used to love the ulama and mention them. Even if we look at some of our WhatsApp groups and at how he mentions the great ulama of the country in a very, very positive light and so forth. Even Maulana recalls the last meeting with the Jamiat, how he loved all the ulama and how he expressed his support for all the ulama and so forth. And on the last meal we had with Maulana, it was probably just a few hours before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken his life away. And we were discussing something, I can't recall exactly what it was, and someone mentioned something what Mufti Raza ul-Haq had said. Now, being a contemporary, Maulana still used to respect Mufti Sahib to such an extent He said, Narda bil Rada.
Allah.
We are happy with what Mufti Saab says. Finish. And I think these are things that we need to attach on and hold on to. Today I complete and my friend next to me completes, but I have some jealousy maybe towards him. Or not only in deen, in all other aspects. When we contemporaries, there's always that grudge in it. But on the other hand, if you look at the pious predecessors, we see that the love that they had. So this is something very, very important, and this is what actually piloted the madrasa. And I would just like to conclude on one aspect that everybody, alhamdulillah, praises Maulana as a tutor, teacher, so forth, and a poet. But sometimes, with all due respect also to those who prepared like the advertisement, just to say Maulana was a poet, I think it's a disservice. Maulana was in hadith by excellence, in tafsir he was by excellence. So it is very, very important to understand Maulana was among those kamil ulama that really, really studied the deen and conveyed it to others, and something very, very important to note. And also maybe encouragement for students of deen that whatever Maulana came across, he memorized, be it long ahadith, be it short ahadith. Recently, if you can ask the final years, Maulana explained to them and told them to memorize longer ahadith and longer pieces of poetry and things that will benefit them. So these are obviously all important points that we should obviously keep in our mind and see how Maulana has benefited us in the madrasa and kept the madrasa going as it was supposed to be going and as it is going, inshallah.
Inshallah. Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time. The final call-up for this evening that we have, and please do forgive me for rushing, obviously time is against us, is Maulana Junaid Karsani. Maulana Junaid is one of those ulama that has experience with Maulana of a very different kind, and that is when they were in the madrasa. Maulana, your input for this evening's program.
Well, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners and of course yourself.
Wa alaikum.
My experience with Hazrat Maulana in the United States in particular. Now, Maulana hails, of course, from Pakistan, spent many years in South Africa, but for those of our listeners who are aware, Maulana spent a number of years in the United States, especially in the Northern California area of Milpitas. And there are many listeners, alhamdulillah, who are listening in tonight from that region. We put it out of the notice that those, you know, who have got memories of Maulana Mumtaz ul-Haq Saab. And I do recall that there isn't a single alim that's practicing currently, alhamdulillah, anywhere in America that doesn't have fond memories of Maulana Saab directly. If I can share with you, you know, one incident that in 2005, when the moon was sighted or non-sighted for the month of Shawwal, this was after Ramadan, there was a particular masjid. Can I relate the story of a young alim who originally is from South Africa who came to live in the United States? And at that particular masjid, there was some conflict in the board and in the committee. And there was this two groups. One group, excuse me, Mara, there was one group that followed calculations. And they were insistent that we are not going to follow the Hilal, the moon sighting for the month of Shawwal, as per the declaration of our ulama. And the masjid was sort of 50-50. And, you know, sitting there in the board room and being confronted with two different groups, the particular alim asked for 5 minutes. And he went and made a phone call to Maulana Mumtaz ul-Haq Saab. And Maulana Mumtaz ul-Haq Saab's response was, Himmat Nahar, then don't lose courage. You carry on following the haq, you carry on following the decree and the decision that the moon has not been sighted, and you don't follow and go by the calculation method, and you come back there and you pass that decision no matter what is the consequences in your particular locality. So this alim narrating the incident, when he comes back to the boardroom, he mentions that we are not going to follow the calculations, but we are going to follow the sighting of the moon, and Eid will in fact be not tomorrow, but will be the day after. Now, that's part of the issue. That was part of the problem. There were half the committee was angered at that decision simply because they felt that they were paid members of the masjid, and they now wanted to, you know, have their way, and they wanted to go ahead and follow the calculation method as opposed to the sighting of the moon. And this alim, on the actual day of Eid, many of those people who followed calculation celebrated actually the day before. But they sent many of their people to the congregation, to the Eid Salah, which was a day after they had celebrated Eid, just to make life difficult for those people who were following the Hilal sighting method. And I do recall, you know, the story of this young alim, that as he came up to the mimbar on the actual day of Eid, from every saf, they put one guy inside there to sledge him. In some circles, this is called sledging. That, you know, that bewakuf, And as he's walking up to the mimbar to give the Eid program, and, you know, people are not understanding what's happening, but he knows exactly what's happening. In the mind of that alim, what kept him going was the words of Hazrat Maulana Himmat Nahar: don't lose courage, don't lose courage. There will be khair and there will be good that will come out of that decision that was made in the last 48 hours. Every single one of our ulama, alhamdulillah, who have served, especially on the West Coast, the Milpitas area, San Jose, that's now in the San Francisco area, have similar incidences or experiences of Maulana's support in very difficult times, when they had either come to the country or they had either started their work amongst a very diverse group of community that wasn't afraid to sledge, that wasn't afraid to express themselves in a more vociferous way as we are used to hear, or not used to hear in South Africa or other parts of the world. And Maulana, throughout that entire time, with all his responsibilities and his work that he had, took out a lot of his, you know, that personal time to encourage every single one of them in the activities that they were involved in, and gave them sterling advice on how to work with that diverse community of Salafis, of, you know, people who are coming from the Shi'i background and all those type of things. And without that encouragement from Maulana, I don't think that organizations that are currently existing today, like the Northern California Ulama Council, or the Southern Ulama Council, or even other so-called jamiats or organizations that exist in North America, would have existed without Maulana's sarparasti and his direct influence upon those founding committee members, as well as his continued encouragement. Well, that's basically what I have to share from the American ulama, that they have asked me to speak some of them on their behalf. I know all of them have their own memories, and you know, every time that we see that new masjid in Milpitas, the one that's coming up, as well as the entire, you know, San Jose area, we know that this is in Maulana's nasib. It's his work.
Definitely, Maulana. I think, Mark, we've got to just, time is up and we're up to the news. But Jazakallah so much for your input this evening, Maulana.
Jazakallah khair, Maulana, for affording us.
Ameen, inshallah. Respected listeners, that just brings us to the end of the program. I must say a very big Jazakallah to Maulana Yusuf Rawat, who's now at the Jamia, for helping me put this program together. We make dua for Maulana Mustafa Kamil's wife. She's not well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her speedy recovery and complete cure, inshallah ta'ala. Maulana has been through some great challenges in the last week since his father has passed on. Also, I would like to have a quick request. All those programs that we have thus far done on the radio, if the family members could please contact me urgently regarding some issues I just needed to discuss with them. Also, if there are ulama that have passed away and we have not yet profiled the families or the ulama that have passed on, also please do contact me. We are busy with a project, inshallah, and we would like that to be inclusive of all the ulama. So if there are ulama that we have not yet profiled, please do contact me. And the family members of those ulama that we have already profile as well. If you could contact me, it will be much appreciated. We will, inshallah, try and do another program on Morana because much has yet to be said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all understanding. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.